community is a group that comes together based on similar interests. Sometimes they even have a similar spirit. There are many different types of communities. There are communities that are based on cultural differences. We have the workplace community, the school community that you belong to or you go to. The community that you live in, and today with internet and social media so popular, we have online communities. In this setting that we shared together this morning here, we often known as the church community. Church is not only a place where we come together with a similar interest and like minds, but also the place where we can come and experience the unique experience of those who once were strangers, now experiencing the bond of closeness within the body of Christ. And in most times, it's greater and stronger than any other bonds are based on human blood. One of the aspects of Christian church community is found in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious, Paul says, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we come to the table, we put aside all our worries, our pain, and focus on this sacred occasion that we are here to celebrate. Someone said the Lord's Supper is the highest expression and the holiest exercise of Christian worship. This is the greatest activity that we can participate in as the body of Christ. But in our consumer society, what we're experiencing that it influences not only our daily life, but also the way we go about our spiritual things, our spiritual life. We often treat the church, unfortunately, as something that we should benefit from, and that's okay. But then we choose to attend the church on special events more likely than on a regular Sabbath. We inquire about the speaker or music program. We're looking for something that would be of our interest, that would be attracting to us. And we mark our schedules, our calendars for potluck Sabbaths. We certainly cannot miss those. And we catch ourselves sometimes that we are more likely to invite someone to a concert than to a communion service. We like holidays, the Memorial Day, the President's Day, the Independence Day. For many of us, it means time off from work. And very often we're so much preoccupied with the free time that we forget what's actually behind those days. Those events that were set aside for us to observe. And unfortunately, some Christians treat communion service as a holiday, taking time off or day off. It is unfortunate that many Christians miss communion service. One of the major events that reminds us and focuses on Jesus and his sacrifice that he made to guarantee our salvation. I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning. You're here. Paul addressed the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, and he rebuked them for allowing themselves to neglect and disregard the sacredness of this holy service. And his message was, you have come to the table to have a meal, but you have forgotten the one you have come to honor. They came to celebrate something, but in the middle of the celebration, they forgot the real thing, why they're there. And some of them even failed to come at all. Well, we benefit from each service, every worship service. This particular one gives us an opportunity to express our thanksgiving for our Creator and what He has done in our behalf. Especially taking into consideration that we were subjects to death. It teaches us what it truly means to deny self, what it truly means to love without expecting any love back. It is in this communion that we truly learn that it is not about us, but rather about what has been done for us. In the celebration of this holy service, we learn that we have place at the table, not because we deserved it to be there, but because Jesus, through his broken body and shed blood, has reserved a place there for you and me. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, Paul continues, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus offers a prayer of thanksgiving. There's nothing unusual in what Jesus did. In Jewish family, in every Jewish family, there was a custom that the leader of the house, the household, would give thanks or offer a prayer of thanksgiving before the meal. We still do that in our own personal lives, in our own families, and when we are alone. We bow our heads before we eat, and we thank God for what He has provided. Sometimes we do it without even thinking of the reason why we're doing that. But what makes the difference between the regular meal and this one is what Jesus said after his prayer. When he had given thanks, Jesus added, "This represents my body broken for you." Only Christ knew the magnitude of what that meant. Only he understood that in the midst of the thanksgiving, he knew that he would experience the brokenness of the cross. He had been betrayed the night before, or later, the night after, or that night. And he was about to be rejected and denied. But only he knew the magnitude of and the importance of the thanksgiving in the midst of brokenness. Paul says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but bring everything to God in prayer with a spirit of thanksgiving." Jesus knows that almost everybody around that table that night would turn their backs to him. But before he breaks the bread, which represents his body, he pauses and gives thanks. The word thanksgiving here in Philippians comes from the Greek word Eucharistia, which we get our word Eucharist, which represents the Lord's Supper. When we come as God's people to celebrate the communion, or this communion, we come not just to recognize the emblems and what they stand for. Jesus invites us to come to the table with the same spirit as he came to the table. The spirit of thanksgiving in the midst of brokenness. Many times we come with thanksgiving when we actually receive something in return. It is easy to say thanks for something that we benefit from. But Jesus came in the spirit of thanksgiving when he knew that he is going to be broken. So every time we come to the table, we're not just recognizing the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus. This is the time for us as God's people to thank him in spite of our brokenness. When we share the time of fellowship, when we wash each other's feet, when we partake the emblems that represent the body of Christ and his blood shed for us, we share the goodness of God's love and his mercy with one another. That's the spirit of the true Christ-like community within the communion. Thankfulness in the midst of brokenness. I know that many of us here are going through difficult times. And it gets discouraging. It is so difficult to give thanks in the midst of our brokenness. But when we think of our brokenness, when we think about our pain and our agony, when we are rejected by our best friends and betrayed by our family, when we are experiencing excruciating pain, look at the symbols and think of Christ and pain and agony that he went through. And in the midst of your brokenness, pause and give thanks. Every time we come together to this table, we're experiencing the bonding that brings closeness in God's family. This bonding transcends the bond of human blood, because the blood of Jesus is that brings us together and makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what makes us Christ-like community. That's what helps us to learn to express thanksgiving, not after we are made whole, but in the midst of our brokenness. Knowing that the brokenness of Christ will make us whole. Paul says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the assurance that the day is coming when our brokenness will be restored and will be made whole. But until then, we will continue in the midst of our brokenness to give thanks. For one opportunity to take part in this holy service. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for thinking of us in the midst of your brokenness. When you were about to go on the cross, you gave thanks to your Heavenly Father for the plan of salvation provided for us. And as Jesus, you're giving an example for us to come to the table with the same spirit of thanksgiving. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we ask you to bless us with your presence in our lives, in our actions, in our attitude. And at this time, as we'll be ministering to one another through the foot washing ceremony, we ask for your blessing and your presence among us. Let us wash your feet while we're washing the feet of one another. And help us to remember what it means. And we bring thanks to you for making us a part of your heavenly community, the body of Christ, the church. Be with us in a meaningful way through your Holy Spirit, guiding and leading us through our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, your precious name we pray. Amen.
One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, lovingly poured out a valuable soul.